Welcome to today's Hearthstone. Let's talk Pella. I'm Andrew Schneider. Pella Schools Superintendent Greg Ebeling joins us on today's program to provide an update from this week's Pella School Board meeting.
Well, Greg, a very long and extensive, essentially work session for the Pella School Board at their most recent meeting, really still circling around about return to learn and what it looks like about having students back in class this fall. We talked about a month ago now about some of the overall themes that Pella Schools is pushing to have as many kids in the building as possible as a beginning point, and then from there having levels of precautions. What are some of the key provisions that came out of this most recent meeting, especially as it comes to the health and safety precautions? So face masks and face shields and some of the other online provisions and work the administrative team is going to have to do to get that all set up.
Certainly, that's been our focus, and not surprisingly, given the circumstances. But really where we're at is that we've got things continuing to be planned for, but we are still moving forward with having our kids on site. We actually sent out a survey to parents that really asked them whether they would prefer virtual learning, whether they would prefer on-site learning, or something else. And really what it came down to is that we're going to have on-site learning, so we'll have students on-site. We will also offer a virtual option for parents, and we've got some parents choosing to keep researching the virtual choice. There's about 110 families that are interested in virtual, so they will come in and meet with the school and we'll really make a plan. We want to make sure they know what they're getting into when they choose virtual. It looks different at different grade levels and different grade spans. Some of it will be very much an online teacher that's dedicated to an online classroom. Some of it will be very much synchronous learning, where actually the students will log in and join live classes through a camera called a swivel that allows the camera to follow the teacher in the classroom. And so that'll be going on. But we are certainly making, you know, lots of things happen to make sure that students have a choice and there's options. We are planning on having all people masked at the school, both students and staff. We had said just a little over a week ago that we were requiring masks for staff, and now we're going down the road of requiring it for students as well. We know some students will have health reasons that why they can't wear a mask, and we'll have to work through those. But we really want it to be the norm that students are masked, especially when they can't be socially distant. So that's where we're heading, to have pretty much everybody masked in the district. We know that starting out more restrictive and see where that goes and what our numbers, our coronavirus numbers look like in our county, in our area, will be important to kind of gauge that. But we really see a lot of evidence where masks will make a difference. Certainly sanitizing, trying to be socially distant as much as we can is important, hand washing, all those things, and then people staying away when they're sick. So we've got a lot of protocols to put in place if we have positive cases, and we know that there will be exposure when somebody's positive to other people, and then it will probably require other people to be quarantined for up to 2 weeks. So those are all the harsh realities, and we know some students will choose to go face-to-face, and then they may have to stay home for a couple weeks because of quarantine at certain times. And so then we'll offer a virtual to those students while they're home, and then they'll be brought back into the school. But we'll also have the families that will just choose virtual and to be there for at least a whole semester.
Part of the reason why we're talking today, too, about this specifically is the governor essentially kind of flipped the script on what was initially planned, in that a minimum of 50% of students, as I understand, have to be in the building for in-contact learning unless you get a waiver from the Iowa Department of Public Health or Education. And on top of that, the big difference for the online learning component this time around is now it will be required if students do participate.
It is. So the virtual learning will not look like last spring in terms of being voluntary. Virtual learning will be required, just like compulsory attendance. Attendance will be taken. Assignments will be graded. It will all be work into, you know, their required work to get credit for the course. Now, that's usually you talk about credit more at the high school. But regardless, at whatever level the student is, if they're getting their education through the virtual component, there is required things a student has to do. Virtual learning takes a parent that is much more engaged in their student's learning, because certainly, especially younger students, are just challenges with using the computer, you know, staying focused, staying engaged, all those things. And so it'll be important that parents who choose virtual, that they stay engaged and they work with their student at home. So those are all pieces that we're kind of working through, and it's not simple, but at the same time, we think we can deliver some good virtual learning. But in the end, we know that probably the best way students learn is to be on-site at school. So that's why we're excited that really 93% of our families have chose to be at school. We've got about 7% of our families that are actually choosing to be at home in virtual. And we don't begrudge them that, and we'll work with them through that. But we know for the most part, we're going to have the majority of our kids back here, you know, come August 20th.
So not only does the administrative team have to work through that challenge of reaching out to those families that do choose virtual, but the other big project you have is filling a board vacancy. At this most recent meeting, Greg Gustafson was recognized for his years of service. Talk about what he's meant to the board and kind of what the process is like right now to find his replacement for the at-large seat that he currently holds until August 1.
Yep. So Greg has been on the board since 2009. So 11 years as a board member. He was actually on the board when I was hired in 2011, and Greg's just been a really steady person to be on the board. You know, he's very pragmatic in the way he thinks. He really just a good leader in many cases. And so Greg has served the community well. Being a board member is kind of a thankless position because it's an unpaid position. It's a position that, it's really a servant kind of position. And so he's done a great job, you know, through the years for us. And so we will certainly miss him. At the same time, there's always a season for people to do things. And he just kind of feels like, you know, his time of being a board member is ready to be over. And so that's good. And you know, we wish him well. And he'll still be a part of our community and still be a part of our school system in other ways as well. So the board, the board leadership, so Joan Corbin and Tim Tripp have been interviewing candidates that are interested in the board position. We hope to have those interviews all done, completed this week, and then hopefully make a decision, that Tim and Joan are able to make a decision and recommend an appointment to the board, so that at our August 10th board meeting, we'll have a new board member that will be appointed at that time. So that's where we're going. Some really great people that have stepped forward and being interested in being a board member. So it is kind of an attractive way to become a board member because the appointment is obviously simpler than actually running some kind of an election campaign that typically board members have to do. So that's where that's at, and we'll keep proceeding down that path, and there's some really great people that in the end I know will end up with a really good board member to be a part of our system.
Once again, that was Pella Schools Superintendent Greg Ebeling.
If you miss any of our Let's Talk programs, you can find them online daily at kniacableless.com under podcasts and subscribe through Google, Apple, or Spotify to never miss an episode. That concludes today's Hearthstone Let's Talk Pella. Hearthstone, a ministry of Wesley Life, supporting the health, independence, and well-being of older adults in Pella.